I gave a shiur in the previous Shabbos to the women on the introduction to Sefer Tehillim. I'm going to attempt to recreate from memory some of the points that I touched over there, but without the fanfare, etc., just point by point, and see if we can get all the points down in this recording. So I started with the idea that Sefer Tehillim is some way parallels the Torah. It has five books. There's five Svarim in the Tehillim, like there are five Svarim in the Chumash. The Maral points out the Gemara in Bava Basra, when it talks about Sefer Tehillim, it talks about the Tanakh and who wrote the different Svarim of the Tanakh and the order, the Seder of the Sefer Tanakh. It refers to Sefer Tehillim as Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Torah is Sefer Torah, and Sefer Tehillim is Sefer Torah, is Sefer Tehillim. Nothing else is referred to. It doesn't say Sefer Rus, Sefer Iyov. It just says Iyov, Rus, etc. Here it's referred to as Sefer. The Maral also put in the Maral in Masechtas Kedusha. The Gemara in the Ganata and the Sugyas and the Lamed Aleph, it says, why are the Maral says Lamed Aleph, why are the Sefer referred to as Sefer? Because they count the words in the Psukim. The words, the letters, the words in the psukim of the Torah, and it gives over there the examples of the counted, the words, the midpoint of the Torah, where in the letters and in the words and in the psukim, and where that is in Tehillim. It doesn't give us any other sefer that the sofrim gave us a mid, you know, count, did any counting of the sefer. Now it says over here that they counted the Torah. And it talks about Torah and Tehillim. So again, we see this parallel between Torah and Tehillim, that both, there seems to be a comparison. So Maral points this out. The Sefer Tehillim is the quintessential Sefer of the Hurrah of a human being taking upon himself to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So just like Torah is the concept of Hurrah, Maral in Gur Aryeh, the beginning of Chumash, talks about the Torah is called Hurrah. Because it's the idea to be murder us and show us what to do. And here we are, in Sefer Tehillim doing the same thing. Point number one. Point number two, I said over the story with her gifter, with her Meir Shapiro, the father of Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichron Livracha, just passed away. That he came over and said over in the name of the Alta Telzer Rav, the Rav Yisrael Leib Bloch, that he asked him about Mechlokes Tzina Rekiva and Rav Tarfon, the Seder of Odesh Yom Kippurim. How is it possible Aaron HaKoyen obviously only did one way under the tutelage and under the direction of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rav Yisrael Leib answered, what's made there? What do you think that Aaron HaKoyen of the Torah and Aaron HaKoyen the Mensch are the same Aaron HaKoyen? They're obviously two different people. So what does that mean? Sir Gifter responded, that's a beautiful idea. And everybody else had difficulty understanding what he was saying. This took place in Tel Stone. So he explained it based on a mushal from Aaron Cutler, Medrash and Parshas Nosoi. It says, all of the Torah, Kulo is Simonim. So Aaron said that all of the Torah is like a land karta, is like a map. That a map, every single sign, every single symbol represents, it's a sign and a symbol, but it also represents something beyond itself. So the Torah, Aaron HaKoyen, represented something beyond himself. We talk about in Kabbalah, there's a meat of Leah and there's a meat of Rachel, and all the psukim we talk about Leah and Rachel are talking about a living individual named Rachel and Leah who lived and walked this earth and did certain things. It's also referring to, at the same time, a simon for these greater concepts of the meat of Leah, the meat of Rachel. We gave a mashal of about a multi-trillionaire who wants to make a real-life map of the United States of America, and he would actually make use a machine to make a map to scale, and then build cities and put human individuals, shrink them down and stick them inside, and they would be living their own lives. At the same time, they would represent somebody who lives in the real life, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, whatever it is. So we have a person living on two planes. So David HaMelech is living on two planes for our purposes. David HaMelech is David HaMelech, is an individual living, and he's going through whatever he's going through. And here we see an individual of the Madrega David HaMelech grappling with all these issues, we also find David HaMelech referring to things which are prophetic visions, what's going to be in the future. Here he's functioning not as David HaMelech of the individual, but as David, he representing the future issues and service and challenges of Klal Yisrael. So in the psukim which we're going to find both of those. We're going to be at the second point. Third point, David HaMelech is therefore that we should interpret it appropriately and understand that the meaning means at the level where he's coming from. We start off Tehillim with Asher HaMish, which all talks about that the idea of man growing and man striving, man becoming greater than he is. Similarly, we have Kapitel Yutes, which starts off talking about the grandeur of nature. It goes to the sun, the power of the sun, and it goes from there to the words of Torah, and the strength and words and power of the Kodesh Baruch, which is revealed through Torah. And then next thing you know, it talks about how I'm not doing my mitzvahs properly, etc. So is the final message over here the grandeur of the nature, the grandeur of the Torah, or that man has to do better? Okay, that's point number three. Point number four, the famous word from the Kotzker, Rishiva Gift used to say over, that Nebuchadnezzar, when there was Nasa L'Nes, he overcame Sennacherib. He wanted to say a Shira, not Sennacherib, I'm not recalling exactly which Nes it was right now. He wanted to say Shira, and he wanted to say Shira, which actually would have been greater than that of David HaMelech, and would have shamed the Shiras of Tishbroch of David HaMelech. So the Melech comes and slaps Nebuchadnezzar across the face. So at first glance, it seems to be difficult to understand, because we don't want our Mershon doesn't want the Jewish rabbi to be outpaced and stood up by the non-Jews, so he stops him from saying Shiras. He wants to say Shiras, let him say Shiras. If it's better, it's better. So the Kotzker said no. David Melech's godless was, he was able to say Shiras to Kodesh Baruch Hu and desire to Kodesh Baruch Hu and see the Mershon's glory, and even in the most difficult circumstances that he lived through, in his life of isolation, life of being an outcast, his life of being neared from his father-in-law, eventually being neared from his son, and that happened twice. So one after another, and within those circumstances, he's calling out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in the middle of a Kapitel of Tehillim, we gave an example, Kapitel of Zion, which talks about he's in the cave and he's being chased by Shaul HaMelech, and he talks about Uruk for the Ura Hanel Vechidor Ira Shachar, I'm going to get up early and praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So in the middle of that, so the Melech is challenging the Nebuchadnezzar. If you want to beat David HaMelech, you want to beat him, that's great. Let's see if you can praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu after I slap you, when things are not going so well. And that was the Kotzker's word. The Kotzker explained that if that's not what you can do, so then you don't come anywhere near to what the purpose, the goal of Shira is. Shira is with the praise of Kodesh Baruch Hu beyond when seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu even in a difficult time. So David HaMelech is the quintessential man striving within the most difficult situations, seeking out a Kodesh Baruch Hu and finding a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the hurrah that he functions for us. Tehillim is referred to as a shir. So the next point we spoke about was the idea that the Hamid Dover says that the idea of a shir is to contain in minimal amount of words a little much larger concept. And we gave the example of hand, the Tsar made the decree to kill out all of the Jews in the Pale of Sediment. Somebody could have written that all of us, we would have drowned in a drop of ink. Now, if they don't drown in a drop of ink, it means that drop of ink, which would have put in the signature, would have destroyed 4 million people. So, but the phrase 4 million people drowning in a drop of ink doesn't make any sense until you understand it in the context. So many times, if you understand it properly, you need to understand it in context. And from there, we can see the much greater picture that David HaMelech is trying to convey to us. I said over the next point, I said over a story which I had in the class, Appreciation of Tanakh, that at best we can see that we have an interpretation, which we have our own interpretation. It's our understanding of what might be the understanding, but to say that we think we know that what this is what David HaMelech meant, this is what the various Pirushim meant, that would be beyond our ability to really claim that. So it's not, we have to be very careful when we do that, that we're not fooling ourselves, that we have an understanding beyond what we really understand. The next point I spoke about was that the Malbim in his introduction and gave a little bit of a depth of understanding who the Malbim was and the godless of the Malbim. And he says that he was found the most difficult Sefer to translate is Sefer Tillim because of the fact that it jumps around and back and forth and trying to figure out what is the real message. The Malbim had great difficulty with that. And therefore, it's appropriate to approach Sefer Tillim with great trepidation, that we see if we can really try to garner a true understanding of what the psukim are, or at least a message which we're going to take out for ourselves, which is true to the Torah concepts. And obviously, any idea where you're going to say that the message it has to us, it has to be true to the Torah concepts, but it shouldn't be a message of complacency, allowing me to feel just comfortable where I am. It rather should be a message of pulling me to greater growth, like David HaMelech, who always grew to greater growth.